chapter 1. So if you've not been in here on Wednesdays, I'm going to catch you up before we jump into this text of Philippians chapter 2. Let me just say before we get started, though, Philippians chapter 2, we're going to look at Philippians chapter 2 this morning, and then tonight we're going to jump into the next paragraph of Philippians chapter 2, and then Wednesday night we're going to finish Philippians chapter 2. So there's three paragraphs here in this chapter, and so this morning we're going to look at the first one, tonight the second one, and Wednesday the third. So we're going to finish up this chapter. This first paragraph that we're talking about tonight, Philippians 2, 1 through 11, if I could just encourage you, and before I begin preaching, before I begin reading, allow this text to speak to you. Philippians chapter number 2, of course, all of the Bible is powerful. Don't misunderstand me. All of God's word is profitable. I mean, all of God's word should shake up your heart and should just encourage you. But Philippians chapter number 2 is just a special portion of Scripture. We get such a beautiful portrait of who our Savior truly was. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the book of Philippians before we jump in to this text specifically. The whole theme of Philippians is joy. A lot of people will call this Paul's jailhouse journal of joy. They'd say that because Paul wrote a book about joy in jail. Now, I know that seems like an odd place to write a book about joy, but that's just how strong of a faith Paul had in the Lord. So every message that you hear out of this book, you need to keep in mind that this is to fulfill my joy. Every message that you hear from the book of Philippians, you need to go back to the fact that, all right, this book is designed for me to not only have joy, but to rejoice in that joy that I have, to not ignore the joy that I've been given. So the theme of this whole book is joy. So I want you to know tonight, or this morning, excuse me, that you can have joy. You can have joy this morning. Joy is not happiness. Of course, those are two different things. Happiness is affected by circumstances. Joy is not affected by circumstances. Joy is just realizing that a Savior loves you even though you don't deserve it. Joy is just rejoicing in that. That's how simple joy is. Now, in Philippians chapter number 1, we talked about two things. Number 1, we talked about God will finish what He starts. If God has saved you, if God has called you to something, He's going to finish what He started in your life, right? So that should bring you joy. The second thing we talked about in Philippians chapter number 1 should also bring you joy. It was this fact: when Jesus is everything. When Jesus is everything in a Christian's life, they will have joy. If you ignore Jesus in your life, you're going to be hard-pressed to find joy. And then tonight, we're just going to talk on this subject, let this mind be in you. We're going to talk about the mind specifically this morning, and we'll see that in our text here this morning, all right? So Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 1, we'll begin reading. We'll end there in verse number 11 if you'll follow along with me. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Verse number 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in the lowliness of mind let each esteem each other more than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Verse number 5, where we take our message here this morning. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And again, as we read these next couple of verses, I really want you to just rejoice in these verses as we read them together. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would just be with this time of preaching here this morning. Lord, I pray that your word would just take root in the hearts of people. Lord, you've given us such a powerful text here this morning. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just help me just to convey the truths that you've already given adequately. Lord, we just want to thank you as we read this about, Lord, you coming to earth, the very God, creator of the universe, coming to this earth and clothe yourself in our flesh, Lord. You left the pleasures of the palace for the pains here of earth. And Lord, we just thank you for that this morning. Lord, there's no reason to question your love in here this morning. And Lord, I pray that you just help us to rejoice in that today. And as we leave this church service, that we just continue to rejoice that we serve a God who not only claims to love us, but came down and showed us that he loved us. Lord, again, I pray that you just be with this time. Just use me as a tool in your hand, and just use me however you see fit. I pray that you would be with us all as we travel our different and separate ways at the end of this service. Again, we love you. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. What a powerful portion we have here in Philippians chapter number 2. There's really a couple ways we could approach this text. I mean, we really could spend all of this service, really all of next service and all of Wednesday night service just talking about how much our Savior loves us. We could just talk about this God who came down, robed himself in flesh, and did everything for us. We could really spend 3 services talking about that. And I definitely don't want to overlook that this morning. Will you rejoice with me this morning that we don't serve a God who is dead in a grave? We don't serve a God who's not capable of hearing and answering our prayers. We serve a God who loves us so much that he clothed himself in our flesh. He left his heavenly kingdom, born in a manger, lived a life like all of us humans live here on earth, experienced everything that we experience in life, and ultimately gave everything to us right when he gave his life for us. And if you came in here this morning and you're discouraged, then there's reason for you to rejoice. If you came in here this morning and maybe your joy is lacking, maybe something's going on in your life and you know your joy is just not where it needs to be, then may I remind you that you worship a God who loves you so much that he died for you. That should give you some joy. But really, I think the main focus of this text we find in verse number 5, which is what Paul gives to this church at Philippi, and I believe is what the Lord wants to give to us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. I want to talk about this morning. Let this mind be in you. Now, it's interesting, right? Because we've been talking about the mind in Sunday school. What an important thing that the mind is. We understand that what we think, what's in our mind, is how we will behave. And this is an interesting passage of scripture, right? Because we know everything that Jesus Christ would do for us, but understand that this was all predetermined. Everything that Jesus Christ did for us was already in his mind. And so here's the challenge to us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. And may I say to you, just as the theme of Philippians is, if you will grasp these truths from this text this morning, you will have joy. Listen, if you will get your mind right, for a lack of better words, you will have joy. And so this morning, we're going to talk about getting our mind right, not only about just getting our mind right, but getting our mind in a mindset like Jesus Christ had. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. When we talk about this issue of the mind, number one, the first thing I notice from our text is a satisfied mind. A satisfied mind. Look at verse number 2. I don't want to skip over this. Let nothing be done through, verse number 2. I'm on verse number 3. Verse number 2, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded. Now, this is interesting. This almost sounds arrogant by Paul. He's saying, all right, church at Philippi, you know that I have joy. And by the way, we all know in here this morning that Paul had joy. He's the only person we see in Scripture when he's threatened to be killed saying that's not a problem because I'll get to meet my Savior. He's the only person in Scripture that we find when they say, Paul, we're going to throw you in prison. He says, no problem. I'll just open up the hymn book, start singing until the prison bars open, and then I'll have all of your guards saved. Listen, that's joy. Paul had joy regardless of where he was at. We have proof of that from this very book. He wrote a book about joy from his prison cell. So if you know anything about Paul, we know that he's not saying this out of arrogance. Here's what he's saying to Philippi. Church at Philippi, you know I have joy, all right? Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded. This is essentially, it's this simple what he's saying to the church at Philippi. Church at Philippi, you can have my joy too. There's nothing special about my joy. You can have it too. And I'm guilty of this, right? A lot of times we look at these Bible characters through the lens of like they're almost superheroes, right? We look at Paul like there's no way we can do what Paul did. There's no way that we can have the faith that Paul had. There's no way that we can have the joy that Paul had. But here is Paul saying, fulfill ye my joy. Listen, the same joy that I have, you can have. Listen, you can rejoice in the Lord in prison. You can rejoice in the Lord when you're persecuted. You can rejoice in the Lord when all of your circumstances seem to be bad. You can rejoice in the Lord. You can have my joy. What is that? That's a satisfied mind. What is joy? Let's ask ourselves, what is joy this morning? It's just being satisfied with who you are. It's being satisfied with a God who loves you. That's what joy is. Joy is satisfaction. If you have joy, then you're satisfied in your life. Paul is saying to this church, there's no reason for you to just complain about all of your circumstances, you can have joy. Church at Philippi, if anyone has the right to complain, it's me. I'm writing you a letter from my prison cell. But listen, church, fulfill ye my joy. Listen, church, we can all have joy in here this morning. You say, well, Paul was just a different character, right? Paul was, he's just a better person than me, and he has more faith than me, and there's no way I can have that level of joy. Paul tells us himself, fulfill ye my joy. Church, will you be satisfied this morning? What's on your mind right now? Are you satisfied right now? Are you satisfied with the life that the Savior has given you? Are you satisfied with it? Or are you taking joy in that? Or are you constantly wanting something else? Are you constantly wondering what could be better and constantly complaining about the circumstances that you've been given? We see the first thing in our text here. We ought to have a satisfied mind. Number two, we see a sacrificial mind. A sacrificial mind. Look at verse number 3 and 4 with me again. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. What's Paul saying here? Let me just paraphrase. You're going to have to sacrifice for others. Right? That's what Paul is saying. You need to esteem others higher than yourself. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. What is Paul saying? You need to make some sacrifices. What is Paul saying to every member at the Church of Philippi? Church members, it's not all about you. That's essentially what Paul's saying. He said, get your mind off of yourself. Get your mind off of your time and your needs and your problems. And why don't you start thinking about everyone else around you? And then I remind you, verse number 5, this is the beautiful thing. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Who's the greatest example in all of history of sacrificing everything for us? Let me remind you, it's Jesus Christ. Sacrificing a heavenly kingdom to come to earth, sacrificing his royalty, sacrificing his renown, sacrificing everything to come here and die for us. Why? In the interest of us, he sacrificed everything he knew. Why? He sacrificed his time. He sacrificed his love. Ultimately, he sacrificed his life for us. And you say, I just don't know if I can sacrifice my time. I don't know if I can sacrifice my money to help someone in the church or to help a friend or a family member. I just don't know if I can make this sacrifice. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Look, it's not all about us. Listen, we live in an age today where culture is so selfish that America desperately needs to just see people being willing to give to others. Let's be honest. We live in this culture that teaches us just do whatever you can for yourself. Get what you can for yourself and for your family and for your needs. Take care of you. But what we need is just this sacrificial act of constantly being able to give to people and give time. Listen, will you sacrifice your time for other people's needs? Will you sacrifice your time for the ministries and the things that this church needs? Will you sacrifice your effort? Listen, we see that Jesus Christ had this sacrificial mind. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Will we make sacrifices in here this morning? What are we willing to give up? There's a song that's coming to mind right now as I'm preaching. All the Way. The choir sang it before. The song, All the Way. It talks about what would Jesus do? He looked at this world and saw the sinful condition. It said, what would Jesus do? And essentially the song just says, he came all the way. All the way. He came all the way for me. Listen, all the way. That's a great sacrifice. You know what I find in our culture today? That we struggle to make even small sacrifices. Just minutes of time. Just a couple dollars of money. Just writing a couple of cards. Listen, let's not esteem ourselves over each other. Let's make some sacrifices. You say, Clay, why should I sacrifice? Because Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice for you. And if he's given us our best, then we should at least try to do something like that in return. We should make sacrifices for others, but the greatest sacrifice we should make is to our Heavenly Father. Listen, I'll just be honest. The Heavenly Father deserves you to be faithful to church. He deserves that. He deserves for you to be in his word every day. He deserves for you to be praying to him every day. He deserves for every father in here to try to lead his family in a Christ-like manner. He deserves it. And let me ask you, are you willing to sacrifice for others? But more importantly, are you willing to make sacrifices to the one who made the ultimate sacrifice for you. We see a satisfied mind. Listen, you can have joy. You can be satisfied today regardless of the circumstances you're in. We see a sacrificial mind. What are you willing to give up today? And then number three, we see a selfless mind. A selfless mind. Look at verse number 6 and 7 with me again. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. If you have a habit of marking things in your Bible, I would mark that phrase. Made himself of no reputation, not little reputation, of no reputation. The very God, creator of the universe, made himself of no reputation and took upon him, not the form of a king, a form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. What is this? This is selfless. This is a selfless mind. This is Jesus Christ casting aside all of the clout that he had and saying, you know what, I'm going to give it all up to give myself to humanity. What is that? That's selfless. May I say that today in our culture today, we just need people who aren't interested in being seen. We need people who aren't interested in pats on the back and congratulations and round of applauses. We just need people who are just willing to get the job done with or without recognition. It's interesting to me, Jesus Christ, the very God of the universe, God commands him to go to earth and he doesn't say, well, all right, I'll go, but I need some, you know, some accommodations that a king would have. No, he says, I'll go and I'll be born in a manger. I'll let the people clear out the pig's food so I can be born right there in the trough. That's what Jesus is saying. I'll make myself of no reputation. And I won't just die some sort of kingly, respectable death. I'll die the most heinous way in human history. I'll die the most brutal way in human history. That's how selfless our Savior was. And why was he selfless? Need I remind you, he did all of that for us. And now what is Paul saying to you? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Listen, again, it's not about you, church at Philippi. It's not about you. Church, serve whether recognition comes or whether it doesn't. Give to people whether they give back or if they don't. Listen, it's not about the recognition we receive. It's not all about that. Paul's saying, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ. What a powerful, I wish I could wrap my mind fully around this. This very God of the universe became a man, got rid of all of his reputation. And listen, if the very God of the universe can be selfless, then I think it's safe to say that all of us can be too. I think all of us can ignore some recognition for a while. I think we can be without offense if we don't get a round of applause. I think we can be without offense if we don't get a thank you. If the very God of the universe could literally throw aside his crown and give up his throne to die for a sin-infested humankind, then I think we can be selfless. I think we can ignore some recognition every once in a while. You know, nothing encourages your pastor more than just someone who is just a servant. Did you notice what we found here? That it said he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. What a powerful testimony we have of the very king becoming the servant. You remember in the Gospels when the Gospel records, Dad just preached this recently, where we see Jesus washing the disciples' feet. May I remind you that Judas was conspiring to kill Jesus, and Jesus washed Judas's feet. What was he being? He was being a servant. The head of the household, not only the head of the household, the king of the universe, he created all 12 of these guys. And he says, you know what? I'll be a servant today. I'll throw aside my crown. I'll be a servant and I'll get my towel dirty. Can I ask you this morning, how dirty is your towel? Are we selfless? It amazed me that Jesus was willing to wash Judas's feet. And a lot of times when someone doesn't like us, right? We don't really go out of our way to do anything for them, do we? We just say, oh, well, he doesn't like me, that's fine. Or he doesn't like me, that's fine. We'll just get over that. No, why don't you go out of your way, be selfless, try to do something for that person. Jesus Christ, he became a servant. He was a servant. He was a servant to all of mankind. We see a satisfied mind, a sacrificial mind, a selfless mind. Number four, we see a submissive mind. Submissive mind. Verse number 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I find it interesting that the Bible doesn't say, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and was obedient unto death. Right? I mean, that word would suffice. This is why it's important to understand that every word of God is important. Every word, even the words that we overlook. He became obedient. Why is that such a big deal? Let me help you understand why it was such a big deal that Jesus was obedient. Because he didn't have to be. Jesus didn't have to be obedient. He wasn't obedient. He had to become obedient. Understand that God the Son is just as much God as God the Father. And we have to understand this. If we don't believe the right things about Jesus Christ, then we don't believe the right things about God. If our Christology is jacked up, if you will, our theology will be jacked up. Understand that Jesus Christ did not have to obey because he was already God. What does it say? He became obedient. He had to make himself obedient. Try to picture this in your mind. Jesus says, all right, I'm going to submit to this even though I don't have to. And yet we struggle today in culture. We don't have respect for anyone today. I mean, did you guys see this week on the news, someone won Teacher of the Year and wouldn't even shake the president's hand? I'm not going to sit here and talk political today. That's not my goal. That's not my objective. But I'm just going to say this. If we live in America, we all should respect our president. And we all should be submissive. I don't care if you like him or not. Just being honest, that's the biblical thing to do. We ought to submit to authority. Teacher or children, you need to submit to your teachers. Submit to your parents. Workers in here, you need to submit to your bosses. Listen, we all need to submit. And if Jesus Christ, who had no right in submitting, says, you know what, I'll submit. I'll become submissive. If Jesus Christ can do it, then I've got news for us. We can do it too. You know, submission is such a funny thing because if we're honest, we all struggle with it. We all struggle with submission. If we're all honest in here this morning, no matter how old you are or how young you are, we all struggle with submission. All of us do. I've struggled with it all my life. I'll just be honest with you, right? And we all know how this is. When you're in high school, you can't wait to graduate high school because you'll be 18 and you'll get out of your house and you'll be on your own and no one will have to tell you what to do again. Listen, we know that's unrealistic, but for some reason we all think that. For some reason we think, I'll never have to submit to anyone again. Then you find out you get married and you've been bossed around more than you ever have in your entire life, right? We all understand submission is a real thing. And young people, may I help you with something? When you graduate and when you get out of the house, I hate to break this to you, but you're still going to have to be submissive to someone in your life. It's just how it goes. This is how it worked out for me. So this is my thinking. I'm going to get out of the house. I'm going to get out of my house and I'll never have to submit to my dad again, right? Then come to find out I graduate from college and I get hired on to work for my dad at a church and I have to submit to my dad every day, right? Submission's a funny thing, isn't it? Because here's the point of submission. It's a lifelong thing. Look, you either better learn to submit or just face the consequences of it. If you're thinking in here, young people today, is, well, one day I won't have to submit to anyone. I hate to break it to you, but you're going to be submitting to a lot of people all throughout your journey of life, whether you like it or not. And by the way, our heavenly command is to submit to our heavenly Father. I mean, if we consider ourselves to be good Christians, then all of us are in submission to God. If you consider yourself to be a good Christian, but you're not under submission to God, then I hate to break this to you. You're not a good Christian. We have to submit to him. Listen, submission is always going to be relevant in our life. And look, if Jesus Christ, who was the God, could become submissive, then I think all of us could work at being submissive. None of us like getting our feathers ruffled when someone gives us orders or when someone barks out orders to us. No one likes it. And if you say you like it, then I know you're lying. But what are we to be? We're to be submissive. Listen, bad news and good news. The bad news is get ready, buckle up, because you're going to have to submit to someone all your life. But the good news is you can still have joy in doing that. Submission doesn't have to be just some painful thing that you experience. No, we can submit and be happy. And then this is where I want to close. Notice where this submission brought Jesus. Verse number 9 through 11. Let's look at a supreme mind. Wherefore, all right, so catch that word wherefore. So we're coming off of this thought. He became obedient even to the death. So we're coming off the thought that he's been submissive. Now, what happens with that? That's what the word therefore means. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let me give you a biblical truth that we see in this text. God always honors obedience. Notice what happens in this text. We see that Jesus was willing to sacrifice some things. He was willing to sacrifice his kingdom in heaven. He was willing to sacrifice and become a man. He was willing to be selfless, literally become a servant. Then he was willing to be submissive. He was willing to obey. And then we see what happens when we see this submission take place. God hath highly exalted him. Listen, if you'll honor God, another biblical principle, if you'll honor God, he'll honor you. If you're submissive to God, he will honor you. Now, let me say this. We don't live the Christian life a way that's pleasing to God for rewards. That's not why we do it. And if that's your goal, if you're trying to live for the Lord because of the rewards you're one day going to receive, then that's the wrong motive. The motive for living for the Lord is because we love him, right? That's the motive. And if he rewards us, awesome. If he doesn't, awesome, right? That's how rewards work. We don't think we do all these things for Jesus so that he'll reward us one day. Well, what if he doesn't reward us? Would you still do it? Listen, the rewards don't matter. But let me just give you this. If you'll honor God, if you'll be obedient, God will honor you. He will honor you. God has highly exalted him and given him a name. But we don't just find that at the beginning of this text. But we don't start this text out with God has exalted Jesus above every name, and at his name every knee will bow and every tongue will. That's not where the text starts. The text starts where? With showing him being willing to sacrifice some things. The text starts with him showing that he's willing to be selfless, so selfless that he would become a servant. It starts with him showing that he's willing to be submissive, and as a result, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Some of you this morning, you walked in here this morning and you're craving God's blessing. You want God's blessing. And may I ask you, what are you doing in your life right now that rewards blessing? And may I also encourage you, be sure that you have the right view of what blessings are. There's a song called Blessings by Laura Story. I love the song because she paints a different picture for us of what blessings could look like. She says, what if your blessings come through raindrops, and what if your blessings come through tears? And what if 1,000 sleepless nights is what it takes to know you're near? What if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is a revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy? You know, we bash the prosperity gospel all the time. Me more than anybody, my Sunday school class can attest to that. I bash the prosperity gospel all the time. But it amazes me that every time we talk about blessings, they're always related to health, wealth, and prosperity. May I say to you that if you're craving God's blessing, that doesn't mean he may pay your next bill. That's not what it may mean. And if you're craving blessing this morning, it may not mean that you'll get a surprise check in the mail. Now, it could, but don't expect blessings to always relate to health, wealth, and prosperity. Sometimes blessings come in an eternal form. Sometimes blessings will come in a crown that we'll receive in heaven. But I'll remind you again, we don't do what we do for blessings. We do what we do because we love him. God will honor your submission. God will honor your servanthood. God will honor your sacrifice. God will honor you. We see this supreme mind. As we close this morning, can I just ask you, what is your mind like this morning? Are you trying to make sacrifices for others? And ultimately, are you trying to make sacrifices for God? And are you trying to be selfless? When you don't get recognition, is that something that bothers you? Or can you just shake it off and keep going? And are you submissive today? Young people, are you submissive to the authority that God's given you? And older people, are you submissive to God or Heavenly Father? When he brings something to your life, do you submit under that? Do you just accept that willingly like we're supposed to? This morning, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Let's pray and we'll have a time of invitation. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, again, I pray that you'd help all of us, Lord, with this challenge from your word. Lord, the mind is the hardest thing for us to control. Lord, we all struggle with our mind. And Lord, we understand that if our mind's not right, then our actions won't be right. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd be with everyone in here this morning, that we just have your mind. Lord, help us to be satisfied. Help us to make sacrifice. Help us to be willing to be a servant and to be submissive. And Lord, you'll honor us for that. And we thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with this time of invitation, that you bless it in a special way. In Jesus' name. We do pray. I'm going to ask everyone to stand, heads